Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I've got something on my heart that I want to take off on tonight that I think will be some equipping for the church. I think that this is something that we need to talk about. We need to visit about. It's something that I know that each of us face every day of our life. And I'm going to use scriptural references, and I don't know how long I'll be on this. I may get a little bit into it tonight, and then we carry it on a little further. But we are coming up on our midterm elections, and I have never seen in my lifetime the conflict that I'm watching right now amongst people here in the United States of America. It's just, there's conflict every time you turn the corner. Here's the sad part. It's amongst Christian people. I'm not seeing it any different in the world than I am with Christians. Conflict, conflict, conflict. And here's what I want you to know. Tonight, I want to talk about relationship conflict. Because really, you're not in conflict with someone that you're not in a relationship with. Well, you might say, yes, I am. No, you're not, because you can't really address it. You might be mad at somebody, but you're not in... Right now, you're probably not in conflict with the people running for office, and I'll just use Claire McCaskill and Josh. You're not in conflict with either one of them because you probably can't even get them on the phone. I'm in conflict. You're in conflict with an ideology. You're in conflict with some things that they're believing. You're in conflict with some things that they're standing. And here I want you to know tonight that I'm not shying away from topics that we face every day of our life. That's not what the church needs to do. The church has got to be on the forefront. We can't be taking a back seat. And so I want to teach some principles, not based on what they're saying, but you can go look at what they're saying, and then you can line it up with the Word and see which side you need to vote for. Just line it up. I mean, it's real clear. Romans 12, if you have your Bibles tonight, Romans 12, verse 18. Now, after the election next Tuesday, we'll continue to talk about conflict, relationships. We'll talk about a lot of this stuff, and we'll get deeper in on this over the next few weeks. However, tonight I just want to get the first part of this kind of out, and I want you to see the scripture reference that I'll be using, because in Romans 12, verse 18, it says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Have you watched a news report lately? I don't care which, let's just use the two differences. You got CNN and you got Fox News. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Is either one of them living by that mandate? They're doing everything they can to cause us to not have peace. So we're not looking to them for our peace. So we as Christian people living by the Word have to read Romans 12, verse 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing evil back. Conquer evil by doing good. Doing good. Doing the right thing. Do the right thing. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Where there is strife, or that word can be translated conflict, where there is conflict, there is pride. Where there is conflict, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Someone who's not taking advice is dealing with some pride issues. So if they're not willing to take advice, there's some pride going on there. Dealing with conflict is a reality everywhere. I don't even have to ask for a raise of hands. Everybody in here, if you have ever been in any relationship with anyone, you have had to deal with conflict. And you can always know that when conflict arises, there is an element of pride that has to be fought for us to be able to move forward. We've talked a lot about pride over the last few weeks, but we've got to realize that there's a need for the church to equip in the area of relationships and dealing with potential conflict. And here's why. Because it's not a question of whether or not conflict will come. It's a question of how you're going to handle it when, in fact, it does come. Because it's coming. And in the church, here's the thing. Well, that's why I go to church, because there won't be any conflict in church. Yeah, right. Yeah, no conflict in church. Have you ever had to deal with conflict? Yes, you have. And here is how we respond. We either deal with it head on or we run and hide. Too long, the church dealing with conflict has ran and just hid. We're just going to be quiet. We're not going to talk about it. And there for a season, we have put our heads in the sand and just said, well, that's the world's deal. Well, guess what? You live in the world. You may not be of it, but we are here to tend and take care of it. We've got to do our part. We've all seen a coach and a referee deal with conflict. I sometimes have always got more interest when something happens on the court watching the ref and the coach, because I'm always waiting to see what their response is going to be to the conflict. And it always kind of concerns me when the team had, per se, a wrong call and the coach is just sitting there going, I like it a whole lot more when the coach goes, well, I mean, I'm not talking about getting up and ready to get thrown out of the game, but come on, there needs to be a little concern on the face. Our team got treated wrong. I don't understand. How do you deal with it? Do you just, what about at home? When there's conflict in the home, do you just clam up? I'm not going to say anything. We'll act like everything's right and good and, come on, everybody knows it's not. But how do you respond in the home? What about at church? I'll just find another church. See that a lot? What about at work? We're done with break. I'm going back to work. Or we're on work. I need a break. I'm just going to run from it? Or do you deal with it? And how do you deal with it? See, you can't avoid relationships. What about at school? I did get kind of a kick out of talking to one of our students this week at school, and I just asked him, I said, so what do you think, how's school? Oh, I just don't talk to anybody. What do you mean? Well, I just can, what they were saying is I can avoid conflict by that. And so that's why they're at school, because we can teach them through and correct thinking. And, well, wait a minute here. You got to deal with people your whole life. And so you might as well get used to it now. When someone takes that approach, I can tell you they've been hurt. And it's either because of their pride or someone else's, but there was pride in the conflict. And there was a disagreement on what the outcome should be. So a lot of people just avoid all conflict, but you can't avoid it all. One church leader said, on any given day, 3/4 of all churches' ministries is significantly reduced because of non-productive and destructive conflict. There is non-productive and there are destructive conflict. But there is also conflict that is necessary for you to be able to come to an agreement to get to the next level. Everybody say, well, I agree with that. This same person, this church leader, said that conflict is so severe in a quarter of those churches that it has to be reduced before the church can accomplish anything. I'm talking about this right now because I don't know of any major conflict going on right here. So if anybody's sitting here going, I really want to know what he's to, who's he talking about right now? I'm not. I'd rather be on the front end than I would the back end. I want to be on the front end because conflict just stifles a church. Now, it also stifles a home. It also does horrible things in a relationship with work. The average pastor spends 20 to 30% of their time dealing with conflict. And I think that's a low statistic, according to Barna. I mean, that's low. Tonight, some areas that I want to just start with that cause conflict, because you have to be aware of the cause before you can address the solution. So to get into that tonight, I'm just going to talk about some real basic things. If you are in any type of leadership position in any area of life, you need to write some of these down. I promise you it will help you take whatever area that you are dealing with and you are trying to lead. It will help you in your work. If you are submitted to a boss, you'll understand more of where they're coming from, because conflict is inevitable. It's inevitable. We live in a fallen world. The first cause of conflict, and it may be the only one I get to tonight, but the first cause is spiritual issues. Spiritual issues. Cain had a problem with God, and he took it out on his brother. A lot of times, we are the recipient of someone else's frustration, and it's not us that they're frustrated with. But they're taking it out because we are the ones who they have contact with. I've often said, if you don't vote, don't complain. But that don't always work either, because I vote and I still complain. But then that gives me reason to complain. The problem is this. If I am all the time trying to put someone else down by accomplishing what I think is right, then I'm still producing conflict. So why don't we just do what's right? And that's what we, instead of trying to address everything that's wrong with the argument, is say, well, here's what we believe from a biblical standpoint. And you can get as mad as you want at me, but really their anger is towards God, because you're quoting what God says. You can go out there and pick up one of those voters' guide, and you can say, well, I know exactly who the pastor's saying you need to vote for. And you're right. I won't bow down from that. Why? Because as you look at all the views, they're all biblical things that we're talking about. And so if you want to argue, well, No. I will never, ever bow down to the sacred that God has placed on human life. I'll never bow down. I can tell you where every area they stand on based on how they view life. Now, I just don't know if I agree with that. I'm not here to sit here and put your view down. I'm here to lift the one up that God has. Now, you don't have to agree with it, but I'm going to do right. And I'm going to go right back here to Scripture. I'm doing everything I can to live at peace. But I want you to know, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. I'll give you some food if you're hungry. If you're thirsty, I'll give you something to drink. And here's what you've got to know. I'm going to give you what will help you. That's what the Bible's saying. But some people say, I don't want what you got. And I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you're going to give them something they want. You're going to give them what they need. And you're going to do it in love. But Cain had a problem with God. He took it out on his brother. A good question you can ask yourself. Am I blaming someone else, or am I willing for God to examine my heart? See, if I'm going to stand on a particular topic, if I'm going to stand on a particular person, if I'm going to stand on a particular thing that we're voting for, and there's a lot of things on the ballot next week. Three of them have to do with one particular subject. And I know that it's very controversial in the Christian crowd. All I want to encourage you to do is to be able to say, God, examine me. Well, wait, here's what I think. God, I want you to examine my heart, and I want to vote the way you would have me vote according to your word. I want things my way because of what it will do for me or what it will do for others. What about what it will do for the kingdom of God? See, that's the one thing, as I'm hearing people argue, I'm not hearing that point brought up. I want to know what it will do for the kingdom of God. Will this cause more people to fall in love with Jesus, or will it cause, you can argue everything you want, but what about the kingdom? Spiritual issues are a reason for conflict. When we're not going to bring God onto the scene, then you're going to find conflict, because then it all comes down to opinion. That's all it comes down to. A Norwegian statistician computerized every war that had ever been fought in the 5,500 years of recorded history. That's what we have recorded. There have been 14,531 wars, averaging more than 2.6 wars each year. In 185 generations of recorded history, there have only been 10 generations that have witnessed unbroken peace. And I thought about that. Why conflicts are continually arising in our world, it's because everybody wants it our way. Everybody wants it our way. The church is not excluded from all that depravity. We're in a world, but we're not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're in the world. We're here on planet Earth, and we feel the pain. And all I can tell you, Christians, won't heaven be awesome? Come on, there should be some looking forward to something that doesn't have conflict. Abraham Lincoln was walking down the street with his two sons. They were crying and they were sort of arguing, and somebody walked up to Abraham Lincoln and said, "What's the matter with the boys?" And he said, "What's wrong with the whole world? I have three walnuts and both of them want two each." Kind of a cool story. But that's exactly what's going on in our world. Everybody wants what they want, and they're voting according to what they want. And we're not looking at what God wants. A spiritual issue is the reason why our country is where it's at today. It's a spiritual issue. Because everybody says, they get a panel of a bunch of different opinions. And I can just tell you, these panels that they form with everybody else's opinion, I'm just about to the point where I'm, well, wait a minute here. We've even got a pastor on one of these panels. Why don't we bring God's opinion into play here? Let's bring God's opinion in. Let's see, well, how is God's opinion going to affect anything? It's only going to affect if we start lining ourselves up with God's opinion and we get out and vote. We get out and do what God's called us to do. There's another reason for conflict. And sometimes we want to blame all conflict on spiritual issues. And it's true that the devil works to cause problems. But much conflict is not even spiritual at all. There, what I want to call the second thing today that is a cause of conflict is single issue people. If you are in any type of group of people, you will find one of these starting to come out. These are people who live for one thing and one thing only. All they can think about is their one thing. And I have seen that in the past 14 years of this church's history. I have seen it several times. They can't see the church as I believe it should function. And again, I believe it based on what I think Jesus taught on, that they just think the church should deal with this one particular issue all the time. Some people just won't be satisfied if the church is not talking about this one thing. It's all they want. I want this one thing. It would be unwise, but they don't see it that way. All they think about is just one. Some people think the message should always center around one particular subject. And the church is wrong if they're not centering it around that one particular subject or that one particular event. They don't realize how that causes things to be out of balance. If the only diet you received was a diet of repentance, if all you received is a diet of holiness, if all you received is a diet of the Holy Ghost, if all you received is a diet of the law of Moses, a diet of prophecy, a diet of soul winning, a diet of prayer and fasting, a diet of financial planning, a diet of only relationships, a diet of only missions, then the church would be totally out of balance. Each is very vital to the church and biblical to teach and to implement. But church, we have to have the whole counsel of God. And what I see in our country is no different than what I'm seeing in the church. We've got people, we've got politicians, we've got different ordinances or different lobbyists, and all they are thinking about is one little area. And what I'm telling you is we've got to get the whole balance. The budget is out of balance. Why is the budget so messed up in our country? because everybody is only zoned in their one particular area. And so we've got to get someone who sees the whole picture, and they have to see it based on the Word of God, not based on an opinion. We need a regular rotating diet of the entire Bible. And again, I'm talking a biblical precedent tonight, but you can shift this over into any area. Jesus frequently encountered these types of people that were just one-issue people. They constantly opposed him and his ministry. Their opinions, their traditions were more important than the one who would always speak about the truth. They were more important than Jesus. They're one issue. Jesus didn't get stuck on one issue. He covered the whole life of the child of God. And I love that. Single-issue people can rarely be satisfied because they just live out of balance. They don't see the big picture. They don't understand leadership. You can't ride the horse that they want you to ride. They want you to fight. They want the cause to be. And you can never ride it. You can never fight it enough to make them happy. Constant type of conflict. And they live with a burr in their saddle. They just do. He's not talking about this enough. He's not, and I'm not just talking about leadership in church. I'm talking about at work. This employee, all they do is talk about how they just ask too much of us. They keep asking us to stay late. 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 We know what you think. Let's get some things produced here in that little staying late, and we can make a change. I'm looking at some leaders in here, and you're going, yeah, that's exactly right. Single issue. Number three, and it's the last one I'm going to get to tonight, is the divisive person. This type of person has a problem no matter where they go. Their spiritual gift is creating conflict. The good news is they're not only picking on you, they pick on everybody. If you'd go to work with them, you'd find that the people they work with are in conflict with them all the time. And I want you to know that you don't have to take this personal, because this type of person has the ability to find any peaceful situation and just turn it upside down. Oh no, here they come. They have the ability to find a problem when the waters are not stirring. They're going to be the propeller that just says, here, let's just mess this thing up. Now, I don't think it's always their heart, but they got to realize that the greatest conflicts are when you have people that are the greatest stirrers of conflict. Be really careful that you're not that person. Be really careful. I mean, when you walk in the room, does peace walk in with you? Or is it, oh no? There was a pastor who pastored a very large church in a very large city. I was reading about this, and he had a couple in his church who were well known for creating conflict. It got to the point over time that the pastor understood them so well that it became amusing to the pastor. He knew how they operated. This couple would find a problem in the church. They would set up an appointment with him. They'd come into his office and they would talk about what was needed to fix the problem. Or if they didn't get it fixed, pastor, I just want you to know the church is going to implode. You got a problem here. They would cry a while. They would pray over the pastor and they would ask God to give him courage to deal with the problem. And as soon as they saw that one, kind of, this isn't a real big issue, there would be another one. Okay, we need to set up another meeting. I'm not talking, and I'm not that pastor, by the way. I was reading this story. If the problem wasn't dealt with the way they wanted it dealt with, they would leave the church. Well, they were in a very large city. The story goes on to say that I was reading there was three large churches, and this was just one of the three. This couple would rotate between one of the three large churches, changing every time they felt dissatisfied. Some people have just made up their mind they're not going to get along with anybody. And I don't understand it, but it's just, that's what I see. I mean, if these people go to heaven, they're going to probably find some dust on the streets of gold. They're going to do something to say, God didn't do this exactly right. And all, there's not going to be dust in heaven. But I'm just, they're going to find something. Michelle goes, that's right. There's not going to be dust in heaven. We've got to love people. We got to pray for them. But the stark reality is, and you need to understand this, that there are some people that you're not going to be able to satisfy because God can't satisfy them. But that doesn't ever give you an excuse to not love them. That doesn't ever give you an excuse to not give them food when they're hungry, to give them water, give them a drink when they're thirsty. See, we've got to love people because that's our mandate. I love what Melanie talked about just a couple. We don't understand love. We don't get it because we're all the time basing it on how we think it is. But God set the standard. And he loved us when we were unlovable. And so we've got to know that there is always going to be some conflicts. And there was a conflict with you in your relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came. Come on, we've got to, I want you to hear in all of these, and I'll go into the rest of them later, and then we'll get into some conflict management and how we can move through some of these. I just really felt that this isn't something I just wanted to hold a leadership class on. I felt the church could really benefit from some of these tools. I don't think we teach just enough on the practical application of the Word of God on how it can affect life. See, this can affect your relationship at home. This can affect how your kids are dealing with. We're not teaching kids how to manage conflict. But they're going to have it. I can tell you, we've had a school right here in this church for a long time. And there's conflict in school. And it don't matter what school they go to, there's going to be conflict. And what we as Christian people have to do is we have to bring God's word onto the scene and then see the peace that passes all understanding. It's not going to make sense. But the peace, that's what Jesus does. And so before we get into anything, when I'm dealing with any conflict, let's pray. Are we both going to seek the will of God in this? I don't argue with people about politics. I'm not going to argue about issues. I'm just not going to do it. Well, that's my gifting. I get that. A lot of people, their spiritual gift is arguing. I understand that. I'm not going to argue about this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, this is what God said. And then I'm going to say, what's the wisdom in that? Because in 10 years, will more people be won out to Jesus? When you're going to vote Tuesday, you ask that question. Will more people know Jesus in 10 years based on what I'm marking right here? I'm going to mark this and more people will know the mighty hand of God is in this vote. See that? If the church would start teaching that more and go register to vote, which I know we're late on doing that now, but go vote. Go vote. We'll talk more about that Sunday. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.